Well, I know by now you have guessed that today is Palm Sunday, even if you didn't know it when you got up this morning. And Palm Sunday marks the beginning of Holy Week. Next Sunday, 1 week away, is Easter. But Palm Sunday is a very important day because it is the celebration of the day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the seat of religious order and authority. And the fact is, he had been planning and preparing for this day for nearly his entire life. And the disciples, as well as the crowds, lined the road, and they saw it as a day of celebration and triumph. But before I get too far into this story, I'd like to give you just a tiny bit of background about how this story is handled in Scripture. First of all four Gospels give an account of Jesus' triumphal ride into Jerusalem. Now, you might know that all four Gospels may tell a story, and it might have a lot in common with each other, but it's not always exactly the same. So in John's Gospel, he's the only one who actually mentions palms. And Matthew and Mark talk about people cutting greenery, and Luke doesn't even mention greenery in any way, shape, or form. Matthew is the one who includes children in the drama. John has Jesus going into Jerusalem alone. And Luke has the disciples praising Jesus and declaring his miracles. Now, Mark, where we are today, has a little more restrained approach to this event, which is very common for Mark. Mark is just a thank you, ma'am, just the facts. No drama. And so Mark tells this story pretty quickly. In fact, if you noticed, as we were reading the scripture, the first seven verses of this 11-verse section talks about the logistics of procuring the donkey. The last four verses are the only ones that really deal with the procession itself. There are so many ways that we can approach this story, but one thing remains. This story sets us up to see how easy and fast it can be for someone to fall out of favor with the very people who pledge their support. It also shows how unreasonable expectations from some can lead to failure and even harm to another. And it underscores the fact that when crowds begin to take control, control is lost altogether, and things can go wrong in a very short amount of time. So after his very public entry into Jerusalem, Scripture tells us that Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went to Bethany with the 12. Now that sounds pretty anticlimactic after all of this excitement with waving palms and shouting out Hosanna, that Jesus decided it was a little late, and so he went to the suburbs with the disciples instead of staying right there in the big city. The historian Josephus, who was an ancient historian, tells us that there were up to 3 million people in Jerusalem that day because it was the beginning of Passover. So we can imagine that things were pretty crowded there in Jerusalem. But then we hear this part where Jesus goes into the city and the people shout, Hosanna to the King. Now that word Hosanna literally means save us. So the fact is, the people didn't really come to see Jesus. They came because they wanted something from him. They wanted him to save them. But Scripture doesn't really tell us what they wanted to be saved from. And yet it doesn't take much imagination to come up with some kind of list of things that human beings might want to be saved from. The fact is, nearly every single one of us wants to be saved from something. And nearly every single one of us is resistant to doing the work required for salvation from the very thing that we want to be saved from. Maybe the crowds that day were the same as we are, I don't know, but I'm thinking they were. Maybe they were asking for something that wasn't possible without their participation and hard work. I don't really know. Scripture doesn't tell us that. I'm just guessing. But I do know this, that by the time Thursday came, things were in a huge mess and Jesus was preparing to die. So how can someone go from being adored to being despised in only a few days' time? Well, actually, it happens every day. Just watch the news. And any leader will tell you from any organization that it can happen before you even know what hit you. Now, Palm Sunday, to my way of thinking, gives us a brief look at human behavior. It shows us that people are fickle. It shows us that people aren't really interested in changing themselves in order to change their lives. It shows us that humans are really under the power of sin and that deep healing requires a change in habits. You see, the very people who asked Jesus to save them at the beginning of the week, the very people who were waving palm branches and welcoming the king were demanding his death in less than 7 days' time. So I ask today, are we those people? Are we so weak in our faith and our conviction that we can turn on someone when he or she doesn't give us exactly what we expect? What if instead we learned to watch life unfold instead of expecting life to give in to our demands? You see, walking as those who can take the next step without any expectation of the outcome is what it means to walk as a follower of Jesus. Our only expectations from Jesus are these: to trust him enough to be patient in prayer, and to walk according to his plan, not ours. We ask Jesus to help us, and then we condemn him when it doesn't happen fast enough. I've heard people say, "Well, I prayed, it just didn't work." Do you remember that movie Big? Did y'all see that movie with Tom Hanks? If you did, you can go like this just to give me some sign to know I'm not the only person in the room right now. Thank you. The movie Big stars Tom Hanks, and at the beginning of the movie, he plays the part of about a 13-year-old, and he and his friend go to this place, I guess at Coney Island or someplace, but they go to this place, and there's this storytelling, a fortune-telling machine, and Tom has been kind of having some trouble being an adolescent, and so the machine says, "Ask for a wish and it will be granted." And so Tom says, "I wish I was big." And the next morning, the 13-year-old wakes up in his bed and he's about 30 years old. He got his wish. And so begins this crazy storyline where he still has a 13-year-old mind, but he goes around as this 30-year-old person. And it was difficult for his family because he disappeared. He had to leave. How could he be 30 all of a sudden? And it was difficult for his friend. And so by the end of the movie, he's trying to find the very fortune-telling machine that granted his wish so that he can get himself back to being 13 and go home again. You see, it seems that he wasn't really ready to make the changes required to be big. So could it be that our prayers for change take time? And could it be that Jesus knows that? And could it be that when we turn on Jesus because he isn't who we expect him to be, it says more about us than it does about Jesus? There's this way of looking at human behavior that was developed by a guy named Dr. Murray Bowen. It's called family systems theory. And it teaches that families will do just about anything to keep their way of life intact. It also tells us that all systems of human organization can function as families, churches, corporations, school systems, any systems where people live and work together for an extended period of time. In fact, I've heard it said, I hate this part, but I've heard it said that every single encounter we have with another human being, we bring our whole family with us. That is a hard truth, and yet it is true. So here's the deal. In family systems, the minute someone or something in the system changes, things can get really, really hard, not only for the system, but also for the person who is trying to bring about the change. One of the tenets of family systems is that whenever someone changes things, that person can expect sabotage, mainly because everyone else in the system is not interested in experiencing that particular change. So, for example, when someone, let's say Jesus, tries to lead people in a new direction or tries to change habits and traditions that have been in place for as long as anyone remembers, or tries to challenge a secret or unwritten practice that has been held by the system forever, it puts pressure on everyone, and soon there can be outright rebellion disguised as good intentions by some in the system. That's when it becomes important for those who are not threatened by change to stand firm, to be patient, and to wait and see as things unfold. And here's the good news in all of that. As the people of God, we are particularly well equipped to be able to do this. At least if our faith is strong enough to endure. It's when we start overreacting and fighting for survival that things can fall apart. Now, that's what happened to the crowds that week. They went out there ready to say, "Welcome to the King." And there might have been a few who were willing to wait and see. Maybe even some of the religious leaders were willing to wait and see. Do you remember Nicodemus? He's the one who goes at night and says, tries to get to know Jesus and asks him some questions and visits with Jesus so that he can find out who Jesus really is in his heart. Instead of just believing what everybody else said about Jesus, it is so easy to see people as having bad intentions when we don't take the time to get to know who they are. Or when we're trying to assert our own control in a situation. You know, I think if I were a fly on the wall back there that during that week when the people were going back over that little parade with the palms and the donkey, I think we might have heard something like this the next day. Did you hear that Jesus went to the temple and made all the money changers leave? I've known some of those money changers all of my life. Some of them are my neighbors. Who does he think he is? Or maybe we heard something the next day. Did you hear that Jesus was at someone's house? And that woman, Mary, you know her, she came right in the middle of everything when the men were sitting there eating and talking, and she got her hair and poured oil on Jesus and anointed him in front of everyone. I wonder what else went on that night. Or maybe you might have heard this. I heard that one of Jesus' own followers, you know that guy named Judas? I heard that he turned Jesus over to the authorities and they went out there to that Garden of Gethsemane and the disciples or whatever you call those people. They were all out there and they had to arrest Jesus. Well, all I have to say is about time. About time somebody got him and arrested him. He said he was going to overthrow the Roman government. Have you seen anything like that? Okay, well, the fact is Jesus did not say that. But there would have been some who would have said, "I heard him say it." I had a creative writing professor who told us, never let the truth stand in the way of a good story. That's okay for creative writing. It is not okay for newscasters, and it is not okay for people in the neighborhood who are just trying to share information about each other. But that's how it goes. When you don't take the time to get to know somebody, when you don't take the time to look for their good intentions, and when you don't take the time to put your trust in the only one who loves you enough to go the distance with you and to see your heart as it really is. Palm Sunday ushers in Holy Week. It's only the beginning of Jesus' last week on earth. We still have Easter, which is one whole week away. And as we know, a lot can happen in 1 week. In fact, life can change in a moment when we're not ready and when we didn't see it coming. But the only way we can ever hope to live with grace as followers of Jesus is to put our hope in Him, to give time and room for Him to work, not only in our lives, but in the lives of all those people we wish would just change so we could be more comfortable. It is not enough for us as followers of Jesus to come to church on Palm Sunday, hang out during the week, and then come back on Easter and miss the suffering that happens during this week. I hope I see you all on Maundy Thursday at 6 o'clock and on Good Friday at 6 o'clock as we walk with Jesus to the cross. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.